First of all, I want to say thanks for the opportunity to speak, and also thanks to all of you who have prayed for both Judy and myself after our accident. I'm lucky to have her. Also for your prayers for my brother, and we're very blessed to have him with us still. I got to talk to Marilyn last night, and I heard him in the background. As if you know Larry, he was always talking, and he was trying to say some things. And was doing very, very well. But we appreciate your prayers for us and for him, and your continued prayers for him. And they do a world of good, and Judy is a living testimony for that. Now, this morning we have a very interesting topic and assigned, and I thought we might begin with this wonderful passage, and it's always great to begin a lesson with the reading of the Word of God. Moses said, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." This, ladies and gentlemen, implies that parents are going to know the will of God. You cannot teach what you do not know. And God gave them specific reasons for teaching them this to their children. David said in Psalm 119 and verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Also, we can hide God's word in our heart so that we might be able to teach others, and in this case, it is our children that we need to be teaching. And if God's word is to remain in our homes and our families, here's the recipe. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. "You keep it ever before your children." Too many parents are losing their children by not teaching them. And these things that are going to be talked about that shouldn't end after marriage, they need to be learned in our youth. And our parents need to be teaching their children. And we have our title of our lesson, "Things That Should Not End After Marriage." And there are some situations that do occur, that do arise, and that it doesn't take too long after the marriage before the husband and wife are facing away from each other. I talked with a young lady not long ago who said that her husband, as they were driving away from the ceremony, she put her hand upon his and he jerked his hand away. He said, "Oh, somebody might see us." That has led to a long and cold relationship. If you think you do not need to know your mate, then think again. If you think that your children do not need to know these things before marriage, think again. Because it doesn't take long after we've said "I do" before real problems begin. Because we do not know our husband or our wife. Because we were not taught. And shame on us for not teaching. Another couple got a divorce. Because shortly after their ceremony, because they could not decide where to go on their honeymoon, that was their next step, the divorce court. And that is, if it wasn't so serious, yes, it is funny. And it's funny because it didn't happen to me, and it didn't happen to you. But it certainly wasn't funny in this case. Forget the glitches, we'll just work through them okay. And so we need to be aware of the things that need to continue in our lives. Many times we begin with the wrong foundation. We've already talked about that, and you've heard this on our lesson, and especially Brother Reeves last night. God's Word not only tells us how to get to heaven, but it tells us how to enjoy life while we're here on the earth. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I think that's part of that meaning of that verse there. In the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, Solomon said, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Do you ever talk to your son or your daughter like that? Sit down eye to eye, cross from them at the table, and turn the television off. Get their attention. And he tells us and he gives us some reasons to beware of what can happen. My son, if sinners entice thee, just say no. And then he explains to this son some of the ways he's going to be entrapped or try to be entrapped. Then later on, I wish we had time to deal with this, but in verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. We look at a bird's brain, it's not very, very big, is it? But even a bird is smart enough to run when there's problems. We feed the birds in our backyard. And every time I go out to give them some food, they go away. They fly. They're smart enough. And we need to teach our children, our sons and our daughters, sometimes to fly away from the potential problems that are there. In not only in chapter 1, but at the end of the book of Proverbs, in chapter 31, beginning with verse 10, Solomon said, I was going to misquote it there, a rich woman who can find. Is that what he said? Or a pretty woman who can find? No. A virtuous woman. You're going to have to look for her, aren't you? Aren't you? Yes, you are. And you find her. This is something that you search for. Oh, there's women everywhere. There's men everywhere. But are they virtuous? And I remember thinking, one of our teachers had us memorize Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 to pass the course. And I thought, that's for girls. No, that's for men. That'll show you what you need to be looking for. And not just to know what the words and memorize them, but to understand them and to study them and to put God's Word into your heart. And so let's not build on the wrong foundations. Let's begin with the right foundation. Any church, any nation, any business, any home is going to have problems if it starts off on the wrong foundation. Listen to Jesus as we interrupt his sermon here in Matthew 7. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which has built his house upon the sand. You know the song, don't you? And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And any nation, any church, any business, and this morning our lesson concerning the home, any home that's not built on the right foundation is getting off on the wrong foot. If materialism, as Randy just told us a moment ago, if materialism is your God and your goal, you're getting off on the wrong foot. And if a young lady or a young man doesn't see that in his potential spouse, then he is blind and cannot see afar off. He needs to be taught. She needs to be taught. I knew of a young man years ago that was more in love with his pickup truck than he was with his wife. Why didn't she see that? Why didn't she? Oh, it was his baby, his beauty. Well, what about her? Getting off on the wrong foundation, and there's going to be a great fall. Jesus said to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, all that are in the world, through his apostle John, 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, Matthew 5 and verse 19, or Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. Don't put your treasures here upon the earth, verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Don't marry somebody whose treasures are upon earthly things. And you're getting off on the wrong foot. And if parents do not teach their children are going to get off on the wrong foot. I asked a mother who had six children, and we were talking about her children's relationships, and I said, did you ever talk with them? Did you ever talk with them about these things? And she said, oh no, I was too embarrassed to talk to them. Well, is it any wonder that four out of the six marriages ended in corruption and destruction? And as Jesus said, great is the fall of it. The collapse of a home and a family, it's going to be almost for certain when they begin upon a soft and unfirm foundation and building upon the sand. Great is the fall of it. And the collapse is deadly. And it not only hurts those two, it hurts the parents, the grandparents, the in-laws and the outlaws. It hurts the children. And the effect is so great. And that's what he's talking about. and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And if it is your home, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you don't have to experience that. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. Where is this training? Well, Randy mentioned, are we too busy? If you're too busy, then you are too busy. You need to cut some things out. It's not that you're too busy. You're just not choosing to do what you are told to do and commanded to do by Almighty God. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents. And that, again, is an implication that parents are doing the teaching. And if they're not doing the teaching, something is wrong. Part of the training and the nurturing and the admonition of Ephesians chapter 6 and the Proverbs 22 is to teach them what to look for and to teach them what to be and how to live, how they ought to live as they enter upon life's very delicate responsibilities that God has given them. All of these will fail if we build upon a soft foundation. In Matthew 12 and verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction. Could you put home in there? Shake your head this way. Yes, you can. Every home that is divided against itself is going to be brought to destruction. So parents, grandparents, yes, us too, can you do some teaching? You better believe that you can. The real terrorists, what are we afraid of? Outside enemies and foes? We're going to fall from within, are we not? Television movies and television sitcoms, yes, please, are destroying this nation with their content. And Randy already mentioned some of the things that he has seen on television. You just flick through the channels. You don't have to stay and look. Commercials? They're everywhere. Billboards. Everywhere you look. Things to destroy our children. And are these the things, the Hollywood movies and the television, are these the things that are babysitting our children? And I'm not just talking about the little bitty ones. I'm talking about teenagers when they come home from school. What do they watch? What do they watch? What are they seeing? Well, we can't afford a babysitter, so we set them in front of a television and they got 400 channels they can watch and they can see anything. Where's the computer in the house? Where's the computer? What are they seeing? What is babysitting your children? Are you doing the teaching that you ought to be doing, or are you just allowing it to go on? Soap operas, that's what they call them. What a misnomer that is, huh? And that's only because Lux and Oxydol and these old and Tide used to bring them. I guess they still do. They ought to be cleaned up. I'll have some soap in these soap operas and clean up the filth and the garbage and the trash that's there. One young lady, a member of the church, said she was missing her favorite program, but she said, don't worry, I'm taping it at home. It was a soap opera. Couldn't miss it. Couldn't miss it. Babysitting our children. So we have to be careful. Israel failed to follow God. Did they pay for not following God? Seems like they kind of sort of did just in a little bit of a way, didn't they? Yes, they did. Well, does God know as much about you as he did about them? Why, sure he does. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, yes, all things are naked and open before him with whom we have to do. That means it's just laid bare, like a surgeon's knife. It just lays bare and sees what our problems are. In Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. I can't know anybody or anything except God that can do what he does. Knows my thoughts, your thoughts. Not only in this room, but in every room, in every state, in every nation, all over the world at the same time. Almighty God. Amen. Yes, he knows this much about you, and yes, he knows this much about me. And we need to be careful that we know what God wants us to do. How we are to love one another, as Paul tells us in the few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, about verses 4 through verse 8. What love is and what love ain't. We need to teach our children these things. It doesn't matter whether they're handsome or pretty. Is that what God says to look for? No, we're to look for that which is on the inside. Young men, you're looking for a pretty girl, you look for pretty on the inside. Young ladies, you're looking for a handsome young man, then you find somebody who's handsome on the inside. Because the handsome on the outside and the pretty on the outside will soon fade. That's what Hollywood's all about. They marry these young starlets and all of a sudden they get a little old, little get a little gray, or he loses some hair, or she gains some weight or whatever, and they're gone. They weren't looking for the beauty on the inside, were they? Teach them that living together comes after you slip rings on your fingers. You're not living together. Well, we never heard that term when we were growing up, did we, Connie? No, sir. Are people living together? No, if they were living together, they had a license to live together. And that's what we need to be teaching our children. And if these things are going to continue after they get married, they're going to have to begin before. And who's going to do the teaching? Who's going to do the teaching that is necessary for us? A few years ago, there was a movie called The Runaway Bride. The Runaway Bride. And I think, as I sit here, I believe that more brides-to-be should run away. I've only known of one man who didn't show up on his wedding day. But I'd rather him do that than be unhappily married, or she may have been distraught and discouraged and put down for a while. But after you think about it, if he wasn't sure he loved her, he didn't need to be marrying her. And even as hurt, well, he got all the gifts and all the plans and all of this. Well, what are we going to do? I'd rather him stay home and not come and not marry that young lady and ruin her life. Hadn't you? Hadn't you? Now, that took a little bit of courage, but he did the right thing. And so more need sometimes, I think, to run away. But they're not going to know to run away because they're not taught. They're not educated. They don't know. They don't know what to look for. And so they slip the ring on their finger, and then the big problems come, and they just keep on coming. And the problem is, you know, all of our time is spent on wedding preparation and got to get the flowers, got to get the place, got to get the preacher. Who's going to stand up with us? What color of the dress is going to be? Where? And we worry all about that, and the bride on the wedding day is a zombie because she's worked so hard. But nobody has done anything about the marriage. Nobody has told them, talked to them, tried to teach them and warn them about some of the pitfalls and problems. They learn about them just a little bit too late. And they know absolutely nothing about one another. Well, could this be like your marriage? One lady said that wedlock is a padlock that leads to a deadlock. How'd you like to be married to her? Huh? Me neither, as the song says. Me neither. No. Wedlock is a padlock that leads to a deadlock. Oh, happy day. I don't think so. I don't think so. One person asked me after the wedding ceremony, said, did it come off without a hitch? And I said, it better have had a hitch. There better be a hitch. They better be stuck together, stuck like glue. And one of the songs of Elvis Presley, that a team of wild horses couldn't tear us apart. That's the way we ought to be. We love each other so much, there's no sorrow, there's no financial problem, there's no physical illness, there is nothing that's going to pull us apart. But you got to know that before, if it's going to continue after, or you'll hear something like that. Wedlock is a padlock that leads to a deadlock. No, I wouldn't want that either. I wouldn't want that either. And when you argue with your wife, you can't take her home. You argue with her husband, your husband, you can't take him home. Or you just can't leave because you are home. One lady said, I married him for better or for worse, but I didn't know things were going to be so worse. And I want to tell you, if my brother were here and he was able to teach his lesson, he'd talk about our folks. And we lived with a wonderful love story. Maybe you can just read what he had to say. We lived with a wonderful love story and a story that had every opportunity to fall apart, but they didn't because they loved each other. And I could spend an hour on that, but we need to get going. Well, where does the blame belong for all the problems in the world? It's certainly not God's fault, is it? Why me, Lord? No. God saw what He had created in Genesis 1:31, that it was good. Literally translated, it was very good. And I can amen that. It's been very good. God, what You did for me was very good. And it indeed is not good for man to be alone. It wouldn't be good for me to be alone. And we've seen that, what happens when we are. We're failing as watchmen of the family, aren't we? We're not doing our teaching. We're just too much engaged in too many other things. Again, referring to Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Parents, grandparents, keep it ever before them. Keep what? God's Word ever before them. Like Timothy's mother and grandmother, whose faith was unfeigned. It was real. As my grandmother used to say, it was genuine. It was real. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's when we need to be teaching, and what we need to be teaching our children. Pastors and preachers, elders, bishops, overseers need to see that this teaching is done and that it is done regularly. Well, I preached on that a couple of years ago. No, that won't get it, will it? No, we need to continue to teach and preach and do what the will of God says. As Ezekiel tells us in chapter 33, verses 1 through 8, we need to be warning, warning, warning. Paul said he warned the churches of false teachers at Corinth, I think, for 3 years, night and day, with tears. You need to look ahead, parents. In Isaiah 56 and verse 10, God calls His watchmen. He said, "You are blind, you are sleeping, you are dumb, and you are dogs of not barking." Are we that way as parents? Are we not warning our children what to look out for? We took our three children to a junkyard. Yes, it was. I think Randy mentioned that. Take them to a junkyard. It was a gas station that had a car that was about this tall that had hit a tree on going 92 miles an hour. No, it was, because that's where the speedometer stopped. When it hit that tree, it killed 4 young people that night. We took our children to see that. Somebody said, "You think you should have done that?" I said, "I sure do. I didn't want mine to end up there." We need to be teaching. We need to be exposing them to some of the problems and difficulties rather than waiting and, "Well, you'll find out." No. Teach them before the problems arise. That's exactly what we need to do. There are some things that we need to put off, and you can read this in rather lengthy passage here as our time's getting away. In Ephesians chapter 4, I hate not to read that, but you can mark that down. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 32. God wants us to put off some things, and our children need to know these things that are to be put off and not put back on again. Peter says in 2 Peter 2:20 through 22, easy to remember because of all the twos. The dog and the hog proverb, remember that? The dog returns to his vomit again. You don't go back to what you've put off. And I guarantee you, most likely every one of us in here can remember the first time you ever saw that happen. A dog returned to his own. You'd probably take me to this little spot, couldn't you? I can. It was in Kentucky. Not too far from here. And I nearly did the same thing when I saw what he did. And every time I read that passage, it makes me recall. I don't want to go back. God said, "That's what I am when I go back into the world." Or to the sow that was washed, to her wallowing in the mires. And somebody said, "Well, that's not as bad as the dog." Then you don't know what mire is. I got to work a week in the mire. It was knee deep in it, on a hog farm. And every time I think of that illustration, that's me going back into the world. Not going to happen. Paul says there's some things that we need to put off. And yes, of course, there are some things that we need to put on. But some things are better never having put them on. And our children need to know that. Well, let's go try it. Well, do you have to light a match and burn your hand before you find out that it hurts? No. Or you play with a gun till you hurt yourself or somebody else? No. Go play in the traffic? No. No, there's some things that would be better for us if we don't do them. Well, we've come to what we call the me generation. And again, our thoughts are alike, and I think Randy mentioned this. Me, 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 me. Just like Luke chapter 12, the rich man. I will do this. I will do that. We can't live like the world and be like God would want us to be. And because of this, we have abuse. Abuse has become the word of the day, hasn't it? And we must alert our children to this. But if you're going to alert them to it, you're going to have to be alert to it. To the physical abuse, to the sexual abuse, to the emotional abuse. And this is before the wedding, before the marriage, before they slip rings on fingers, before they sign that marriage license. They need to know these things, to be aware of what they are. We say a little bit more about that in the book. And the fella, the drinker, who says, well, I'll quit after we get married. I'll quit going out with the boys when we get married. You drop him like a hot potato or a horseshoe. You drop kick him through the goalpost of life. You don't want somebody like that. He's not going to quit something until you get married. He will not quit it. That is a lie. I've never known him to do it. Never known him to do it. If good things are going to continue after marriage, then they must begin before the marriage. And those are the things you need to be looking for. And when you see that they're not there, I don't care if he is the high school quarterback or if she is the doll, Barbie doll of the high school or wherever. If she doesn't have these characteristics that mom and dad have told you and warned you about, concerned you about, then adios, amigo. You just let them go. Let them go. So many more things that we need to be aware of. The teaching must begin in our youth. Again, parents, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Who's going to learn it to them? Who's going to teach it to your children? Are they you just automatically supposed to do that? No. Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You need to be doing some teaching. And that's not just mom's job. That is your job. That is your job as well. So the teaching again must begin in our youth. Dr. Joyce Brothers, and this was said 30 years ago, that out of 12 marriages, 6 end in divorce, 4 are endurance contests, and 2, she said, are what we call happily married. Happily married. You think we ought not do some teaching? Which of these groups, of these three groups, do you want to be? The divorced, the endurance contest, or the happily married? How do you think the happily married got there? Just looked up? Some might. Some might. But basically, it's because of the teaching that has been done and that, yea, must be done. Now, before, yes, that is a warning. I ask a question, but that is a warning. Things that should continue after marriage. Things that should continue after marriage. Well, what are some of them? And we're not going to hit all of them, obviously. But this is taking for granted that they were there before marriage. And we need to pray together. Should we or should we not pray together before we marry? When is this going to occur? Is it ever going to occur? And if it doesn't occur, why isn't it going to occur? If somebody doesn't want to pray with you, there is a warning sign, isn't it? There is a warning sign. And that ought to be a warning to us when somebody doesn't want to pray with us. I ask sometimes some men to pray. And they say, oh, I'd rather not. Now, if they've got laryngitis, I can understand that. But why, oh, why would you not want to ever talk to God? I'd rather not. I am honored when somebody says, Brother Hafley, will you lead us in our prayer? Oh. Oh. And if I don't ever pray, it shows. It's kind of like housework, isn't it? It shows when it's done, when it's not done. And so you need to be looking for somebody that will pray together with you, and for you. I learned a long time ago about the word habit. you take away the letter H, you've still got a bit. You take away the A, and you've still got bit. You take away the B, and you still got it. You start good habits, and you're going to continue it. And that's one thing that ought to continue after marriage. Praying together. Praying for one another. And do they have to be eternal prayers? Do they? God, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your wonderful blessing for my spouse. And she's going to be praying the same thing about you if you're doing the same thing that you ought to be doing and these other things that we will recall. And then quickly, read God's Word together. Read and study God's Word together. You find somebody that doesn't want to read God's Word together, again, boom, gone. They must be a goner. Again, I don't care who he is, how much he owns. That will not make you happy. It will just not make you happy. We must read God's Word together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. And Psalm 119, such a wonderful passage. We sing the song that says, how shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules imparts to keep the conscience clean. Thy word is everlasting truth. How pure is every page. That holy book shall guide our youth and well support our age. And it will support you in your old age as well. And if I see some of these beautiful young faces without any wrinkles and lines in all of your hair and all of your teeth. And if you live as long as I have, I hope you can be as happy as I've been. In my home, in my family, as I grew up, and with Judy and myself and our family as we grew up together as well. And while dating, it may be a Bible class lesson that you study together. It'd be wonderful, young ladies, if you're helping a young man, encouraging him to preach, to be a Bible teacher as well, and to study God's Word together. In Psalm 119, verse 9, David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, how I love thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Verse 97. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple, unto me. 105. Why would one not want to study God's word with his date? What has he got on his mind? If he will not study God's word together with you, the song Precious Memories comes to mind. Precious memories indeed of Bible study together. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Reading God's word will help you keep your hearts pure. It really, really will. Then we need to worship together. Worship together. If you can, and I recognize sometimes distance, long distance, what do they call them? Relationships. Yes, thank you. She's always there to help me. Long distance relationships. Sometimes it's not possible. But if you find somebody, well, he hits, misses more than he hits, you know, like a car when it starts missing, then it's going to quit. And that's the way with a lot of people. They may hit the services every now and then, spasmodically, periodically, and you're not going to count on them. I talked to a young man years ago, and he said, Mo, he said, I want to marry a young lady that loves God, wants to go to heaven, and she knows the Bible. I said, she's not going to want you. Said, you got to be drug out of bed Sunday by your parents. They got to drag you here. And sometimes you miss for frivolous excuses, and you're healthy, you're young, you're strong. She's not going to marry you. She ain't going to have anything to do with you. His jaw dropped. He knew it was the truth. And we need to teach the truth. A girl like that, I said, she's not going to want you. And so we need people that we can worship together with and want to go to heaven with, and not somebody that we have to drag to services. Then trust one another. Trust one another. Do you? Do you find that trust? If you learn in your youth of jealousy, have you ever experienced that? I used to see that in high school. A friend of mine was talking to another girl about another class, and his girlfriend saw them talking. Oh, World War III began. He needed to drop her, didn't he? What's he going to marry somebody like that? What's it going to be like? You're home a minute late. I know you were out doing something. You want to live with that? And that goes both ways. Husband, you trust your wife. She may spend a little bit longer at Walmart. She may tell you, I'm going to be gone a few minutes, and comes back 2 hours later. Ah, where you been? If somebody wants to be unfaithful to you, all your screaming and crying and kicking is not going to help, is it? Matter of fact, it's probably going to hurt. It's going to hurt. It's been called the green-eyed monster. And Solomon said, it will eat you up. And it will spit you out. It is not good. Learn to trust one another. Love envieth not. Look what jealousy did to Joseph's brothers. They would have killed him. You think you don't hear of husbands killing wives, wives killing husbands? Where you been? What planet you been on? Over jealousy. In Indianapolis a few years ago, friends were playing cards. The fella kept getting beat all night. He went home, got a butcher knife, came back and stabbed his best friend. Killed him. Over what? Over what? And then you look at Saul and David's relationship. David was Saul's best friend, but he couldn't see it, could he? So full of envy, jealousy. It was eating him alive. However, this is a two-way street. We must trust one another, but we must be faithful. We must be faithful to one another. While dating or engaged, sometimes guys think, I can sneak off and date somebody else. Young lady, if that occurs, you give that ring back if you're engaged. Oh, but we're engaged. No. You give it back to him. You let him know you're serious about this thing and that he's not going to continue this after your marriage. That young man needs to be sobered up, doesn't he? Listen to what God says will happen to the playboy. In Proverbs 6, verses 27 and 25. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have jumped ahead. Verse 27 through 25. Proverbs chapter 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Answer? No. Even I can answer that. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But, listen, whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom. Neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. You don't have enough money to pay him off. And you'll be lucky if you don't die. You play with fire, you will get burned, will you not? You know that about matches, don't you? But everybody says, I won't get caught. Or who's going to know? I'll tell you who's going to know. Everybody's going to know. Remember what Nathan said to David? God said, you did this in secret, but I'm going to let everybody know. And they will. You won't have to worry. Do they know? Because yes, they do. Yes, you be faithful. And if you see somebody who's unfaithful to you before you're slipping rings on fingers and saying, I do, then I don't. don't do it. I think you can do that. Whoops. Be sensitive about the feelings of your spouse. We need to hurry. One man said at a party, with his wife standing close by, that she could eat corn on a cob through a picket fence. That's such buck teeth. You know who thought that was funny? Not her. Not her. If he did, how did he? Do not exploit your mate's feelings anywhere. And sometimes we do that. We need to be sensitive with each other's feelings. And we don't have to run her down or run her over or run him down or run him over. You be sensitive with their feelings. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? We call it the golden rule. And it still is. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. How would you like to be treated like he treated her? Paul said, be ye kind one to another. Is that just talking about two Christians who are not related? How about husbands and wives? Be ye kind. You know, it's hard to hate somebody who's loving you, isn't it? Every day when you get up and you see somebody there that's loving you and caring for you and would die for you, what are you going to do for them? Hateful, mean, ugly, bitter? I don't think so either. No. We need to go. Do things for each other. Yes, sir. Do little things for each other. When you see she needs something, when the burner's out on the stove, oh, she's got three more. Well, why's that one out? That's the one she uses. The garbage disposal, yes, we are so blessed. I know, we didn't have that when we were growing up, but we do now. Microwave, yeah. We depend. Oh, it's broke. Oh, my. I can't. You're going to leave her in the lurch? Oh, the washing machine broke. I'll get to it. Don't wait to get around to it. You do it. Do these little things. All right. Do things the other one likes. Go where she likes to go. Go where he likes to go. Do things he likes to do. You might find out why they like to do that. I'm not talking about replacing an engine. Or skydiving. Sorry, Judy, you'll go that alone. But do things the other one likes. Well, we're going out to eat. Where are we going? Always where I want to go. We're going to Outback. You ever think she might like to go to McDonald's? Spend time together. Spend time together. Well, we spent all evening together last night. What'd you do? Well, we watched TV. What'd you say to one another? Want some popcorn? Want something to drink? And that's about it, isn't it? See where we're going. And our appearance. Boy, this grunge look. And the look of the hippies of a few years ago. I told Judy, all I need is a little red nose stick on some of these guys. And they become Emmett Kelly, the clown. That's what they look like. Stars and stripes forever. They don't care how they look. And some people, their appearance. Is it that way before we get married? I remember, I even took baths. Cleaned up, shaved. I didn't even have to back then. But my appearance was something. Why go around looking like an unmade bed and smelling like a dog's bed? Oh, go on, let's go. Surprise each other with gifts. And do they have to be the Lamborghini that my boys wanted? I said, I'll get you the glue to put it together. No, it's the little things. You know what she still remembers? I stopped when we lived at Green Castle alongside of a road and picked some flowers, and it was legal, I think, back then. I hope it was. And she still makes over that. Red Skelton used to write his wife little notes. Love you, darling. She'd find it under the milk in the refrigerator, under her pillow, under her plate. She just couldn't wait. Little things. Little things. Surprise each other with these little gifts. Doesn't have to be the mansion or whatever. Compliment each other. You sure look great today. Thank you for the good meal. And you can do, ladies, you can do the same. Compliment. Don't be always, it's more blessed to give than receive. Always receiving, am I always receiving? How about doing the giving? Wish we had more time. Last of all, teach your children. You're doing yourself a favor when you do. And you're doing yourself harm if you don't. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And how are they going to remember if they're not taught? Our time is gone. Thank you for listening so well.